It probably won't come as any surprise to my regular listeners that in preparing to cover this week's books, which are two books for little kids about the Berenstain Bears teaching little kids about colors, that I did a intense deep dive into color theory and color science and the physics of color and what actually is color, as well as God and creation and what God has to do with creation and the concepts of God giving us our own human abilities. And in looking at the notes I took, I realized this episode was going to be about 3 hours long, and that these are probably books that nobody cares a whole lot about. So I'm going to simplify this week's episode. But if I go off on a couple of tangents, bear with me, because, oh boy, there's a lot to talk about this week. By the way, red, red. We love red. The color of a barn, painted barn red. The bright, bright red of a woodpecker's head. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, as I said up top, we're getting into the weeds a little bit with the concept of colors and God making the colors, and did God make the colors? And if so, what colors exactly did God make? That's right, this week, we are discussing the books The Berenstain Bears Learn About Colors and The Berenstain Bears God Made the Colors, which are basically the same book. One was written in 1993, and one was written in 2003. So a decade after the first one, and all of a sudden we're giving credit where credit is due. That's right. The Berenstain Bears Learn About Colors and The Berenstain Bears God Made the Colors. God Made the Colors isn't even a redraw of the original book. It is the exact same artwork with just slightly modified text. Well, by slightly modified, I mean in the original book where it says, starts off with, red, red, we love red. The color of a barn, painted barn red. The bright, bright red of a woodpecker's head. The new book begins, we love colors. Colors God made. God made every single shade. Red, red, we love red. Like that barn painted. Bright barn red. And that woodpecker's bright red head. So as you can see, unlike some of our previous books that are religious rewrites, this one has some substantial rewrites, mostly because the original text, which was presumably written by the Berenstains, the original text for the first book, Learn About Colors, is about as simplistic as you can be in a book about colors. There's not even a, they don't even like, we're ease you into it. Like, la-da-da-da-da-da-da, we're going to learn about colors. No, they just, bam. Exclamation pointed red, exclamation pointed red, exclamation pointed we love red. This one, then, so I will say that in the rewrite, the God made the colors, actually is a stronger opening for a book. We love colors. That actually tells you what you're about to experience, as opposed to red, red. We love red. You're like, oh, okay. Is this a book about, okay, is this just a book about red? Like, there's no like tip off. I mean, unless you looked at the cover, I guess, which is called Learn About Colors. But again, this is a book that's just supposed to, all right, I'm going to backpedal a little bit here because there's a lot of balls at play in the air. I have a lot of ideas floating around in this head thing of mine, and I got to get to them, and I'm not going to get to them if I just rush right through these books. So hold on a sec. How to have a cup of coffee here because we're in for the long haul. So I want to start off by just addressing the notion, the concept of a book written for beginning readers that's about colors, which is kind of shutting the bright red barn door after the animals have already gotten out. If you're at a point in your life where you're reading books to yourself, you're probably past the point where you need to learn what the color red is. It seems like if you haven't gotten that concept yet, you're probably not reading this book or even capable of understanding most of what's going on in this book, because your basic colors, your reds, your yellows, your blues, those are early, early concepts, well beyond, well previous to the narrative of this book, which, while simple, is still more complex than your basic children's book that says, like, red and has a picture of an apple, and it's like, apple. No, this is red, red, we love red, the color of a barn, painted barn red, which, by the way, okay, if you're describing the color of red to a child, and you can say, well, red is the color of a barn, but only barns painted barn red. Like, I want you to know that not all barns are red. So just know that if you want to know what the color red is, you just need to find a barn painted barn red. Now, that doesn't help. That's not like a... Okay, and this brings me to my second point. And it's a big one. What are colors? What even is a color? I was just... This is almost like a college junior... It's 2 a.m, we've had a few, and we are just talking now, and the conversation has gone off Star Wars, and is getting way, way, quote-unquote, deeper, and man, oh man, you ever stop to think about what, like, colors are? And while it seems like a ridiculous question on the surface, it's actually a fairly legitimate question, because when you look up the question, what are colors, you get pages and pages upon pages of scholarly treatises, that require certain level of master's degree to understand, and kind of a lot of physics and the notion of what, like, spectral light is and wavelengths and like Greek symbols and things like, I don't know, hertz and blurts and chromatics and electromagnetic radiation, and it's complicated. It's complicated. Not to mention the fact that, like, the measurement of color itself is something that people can't even agree upon, because there's so many different ways of measuring it. Are you measuring projected light? Are you measuring absorbed light? Are you measuring perceived light? Are you measuring light on a flat three-point plane? Are you measuring light on a four-point, like, depth plane? Are you measuring the brightness of light, the intensity of color, the intensity of color? There are so many different ways to judge color and perceive color, not to mention the fact that it's almost a completely objective thing. Like, you can't... No. A child... Hold on, I need another drink of coffee. A child will ask its parent, what is color? And do I see color the same way you see color, my parent? And the parent will pat the child on the head and say, ho, 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 we have no way of knowing. Because we have no way of knowing. Because the only one who knows what colors look like to you are you. And even though we have ways of measuring color and our ability to perceive color, and we know that one person cannot see certain colors while another person can see certain colors, we only know what colors are in relation to themselves. Color isn't a thing, really? Like, color is like, you can see color, and you can measure color, and you can talk about color, but you can't describe color except in relation to other colors. I'm always reminded of the time I saw the movie Mask with Eric Stoltz when I was a kid. I didn't see it with Eric Stoltz. I saw the movie Mask, in which Eric Stoltz plays Mask. I don't remember his name. Freddy, Eddie, Teddy, something. I don't know. Eric Stoltz plays the main character, and he falls in love with Laura Dern, who is playing a woman with no eyesight. And she is, I mean, it's a whole thing, because his face has a physical, like, thing with his face, and he's met a girl who can't see his face, and so there's, like, you know, that kind of, like, thing going on, but she can't see, and he's trying to explain colors to her, and so he puts an ice cube in her hand. He's like, blue, this is blue. And she's like, oh, it's cold. And he's all, this is blue. And even as a kid, I was like, that's not blue, that's just cold. Like, blue isn't cold and wet. Blue is blue. And what if she wanted to know what dark blue was like? Would you just hand her an ice cube and be like, it's like this, only more serious? Like, I don't... you can only describe blue in relation to other blues and other colors and on a spectrum, because color is on a spectrum. It's not like even divided into individual like colors. It's just this constantly, it's just moosh from one thing to another. I believe the human eye is capable of seeing, what, like 10 million different colors, like perceive. That's a lot of colors. That's a lot of blues. If you go to the hardware store looking to repaint your house and you suddenly find yourself like, I want a yellow for this room. And so you're in the yellows, and then you get that moment where you're like, holy, wait a minute. I'm in the browns now. Wait, when did I get into the browns? I was in the yellow. Wait, is this the yellows or the oranges? This is orange, but is this orange or is this brown? Now, wait, is that yellow or brown? Like, yellow and orange and brown. Wait, oh my God, they all sort of blend into each other. There is no distinction. What's the distinction? It's like animal species. Like, we only perceive species because we have the divisions in front of us now. But once upon a time, these things were blurred. When did a duck become a duck? Well, a duck was a duck as soon as the animal that came before duck suddenly wasn't that animal anymore. It was a duck, but no one was around to see it. So we only have the duck. So if we only had a few colors in front of us, of course, we'd have the divisions of those colors. But on a grand scale, there's no real divisions. There's no blue. There is just us looking at blue at that moment, isolated from other blues. But there are so many blues, why are they all called blue? And then at one point you get to, like, you know, like indigo, or you get to a blue-green, or green-blue, or turquoise, and all of a sudden you're like, where does the green begin? And then when you're in the greens, you're like, wait, where does the yellow begin? And where does the orange begin? And where does the brown begin? And where does the red begin? And the next thing you know, you're like, what even are colors? You can't describe them. It's like height. Height doesn't mean anything. Height only exists because we need height to be a concept so that we can determine whether we can climb or jump over something. Height doesn't exist out in space, isolated from other things. If the Empire State Building were floating out in outer space, we wouldn't say, look how tall that building is. We might be able to say this building, or whatever we would call it when it's floating out in space, this building is X number of feet long, but we wouldn't say that's a long building, unless we were saying, oh, I want to walk down this building. That's long, but it doesn't mean anything. This is long to us. It may not be long to a person with legs that are 50 feet long. They might say, that's simple stride. That's not long. It has a length, but that's not long. And color is only color because we see it next to other colors. If everything was a uniform shade of blue, we wouldn't say, this sure is blue. We would just say, I am tired of looking at everything because it all looks the same. Does that make any sense? Also, bees don't see color the same way we do. We know that they see like ultraviolet light and that they can't see red. But they don't care about that because they only need to see things that they can either eat or sting. And so color for them only is a way of determining, is this good for creating food and feeding my queen, or is this good for stinging or not stinging? And that's what color is for us. It's a way of, like, it separates things, but it's also just light bouncing off things or being absorbed into things or being emitted from things. And other animals see different colors. And so this leads me to my next question. Did God make the colors? And if so, for who and why? And if it's just a form of measurement, if it's just objective, did that mean God made height? Or is that just a concept? Is it just a measuring concept? If whether even you don't believe in God or not, and I'm not even saying God is a concept, whatever, but if there is an external intelligence that created everything, is color something that external intelligence created? Or is it simply a byproduct of the world, the reality that thing created? When eyes developed, as we know they did, was color part of the mushmash? Or was color like, oh, that's interesting how light bounces off all of those things and hits the photoreceptors of that eye. And I think there's cones and something. And now they see these colors. But these animals over here see other colors. And these animals over here see other colors. And isn't it cute how that all worked out? Or these animals that evolved the ability to see these kinds of colors are doing better in this arena. And these animals that... Do you see how I'm saying? Like, color is so, like... It's out there, man. That just saying God made the colors, that's like, what? Like, he didn't drop a bunch of, like, colors don't exist. They're like numbers. They exist, but only as a form of, like, categorizing the world into things. Like, at the bottom of it all, there's no red. There is simply, this is what happens when light is reflected back this way, man. And we are like, I need to call this something. So all of these ways kind of look similar. So we'll just call that red. And then years later, scientists or whoever came along and were like, well, if it falls here on the wavelength, that's pure red. That's what scientists sound like, by the way. In any case, a woodpecker's head is red. Whether or not you believe God made it that way, we can all agree on that. Yellow. We love yellow. And so in the books, they all agree that yellow is awesome. The sun is yellow. Even though, is it? Is the sun yellow? What color is the sun? Like, I'm going to ask that question right now. What color is the sun? What color is the sun? I mean, we think it's yellow because we kind of notice it being yellow, but A, we don't really stare at the sun that much, and because that's bad for you. And B, we're only seeing it through, you know, the sky. And color is affected by what kind of air it's moving through. By the way, colors look different depending on, you know, what the air is. They're not like just sort of set in stone. If you were on a different planet and you were seeing a different, like, light filtered through a different thing, your colors are going to look different. I just had another drink of coffee. So according to Stanford University, it is a common misconception that the sun is yellow or orange or even red. However, the sun is essentially all colors mixed together, which appear to our eyes as white, which is obvious if you were out in space, which we aren't. I mean, we are, but like not like help me, I'm out in space. So the Berenstain Bears are like, that sun is yellow. It's the color of the sun. The sun's brightest beam, or it's the color of the sun's bright beam, depending on whichever. But it's not. The sun's bright beam is not yellow. In fact, hello, if the sun is down near the bottom of the sky at sunrise or sunset, it looks totally different. It's not yellow then. It's like red. So what are you talking about, my bears? It's also the yummy color of lemon ice cream, which that's a weird thing because I don't think I've ever had lemon ice cream. Why did they choose lemon ice cream? They could have said banana ice cream. Lemon ice cream, I think of lemon as more like a sorbet or a sherbet, not an ice cream. But here's a handy bear ringing a bell at a cart selling literally nothing but lemon ice cream, which, all right, bear country is a weird place. The bears have their cones. Do we love blue? You bet we do. The color of the sky, or the color of God's sky? Yes, yes, yes. The color of Mama's polka dot dress. Which leads me to ask the question. My buddies, what color is the sky? What color is the sky? Why do we see it as blue? This is a question that I actually was fascinated by when I was a kid. Why is the sky blue? Why do we think the sky is blue? It doesn't always look blue. Right now it looks white, but there's a bunch of clouds overhead. People ask that question all the time. But what we really know is that the sky is, of course, the light from the sun, as we just said. The light from the sun is white. It's made up of every single color. So I'm going to see if I can just... Okay. This comes from NASA's website. They're trying to explain to everyone why the sky is blue. So we all know that when we see light, we're just seeing a bit of like all the light energy in the universe. That light travels in waves, that blue light waves are shorter than red light waves. So sunlight reaches our atmosphere from the sun, and it gets scattered in all directions by all the gases and the particles in the air. So blue light is scattered in all the directions by the tiny molecules of air in the Earth's atmosphere. But the blue is scattered more than other colors because it travels as shorter, smaller waves. So this is why we see blue the most in the sky, because it's being scattered more than all the other colors. Closer to the horizon, the sky fades to a lighter blue or white, because the sunlight is reaching us from low in the sky, so it's passed through more air than the sunlight reaching us from overhead. And as it passes through all this air, the air it's scattered and rescattered the light like even more times, so that the light gets even more diffused. And also the surface of the Earth, it reflects the light and scatters the light again. And so all that scattering mixes the colors together so that we see more white and less blue as we look down towards the horizon. So when you say the sky is blue, you're just saying we see the blue light the most. Mama's polka dot dress is kind of the same way. I mean, it's the same basic idea. It just reflects the blue light the most. I'm not discounting their theory. I am not discounting what they're saying. I'm just saying that to say the sun is yellow or to say the sky is blue is a lot more complicated than the bears are letting on. So here's where we get to that wonderful thing. So in every book that's been rewritten into a religious book or just reprinted, repurposed, we always lose a couple of pages. As I always say, we lose a couple of pages because of reformatting. They have to edit something. So in the original version in Learn About Colors, Brother and Sister Bear, by the way, Brother and Sister Bear are the ones narrating this book. And they're walking, not only are they're walking a lot hand in hand through Bear Town. But they pass by Art Store, which is the local art store. It's called Art Store. And in the window are barrels, buckets of paint, red, yellow, blue, orange, green, and purple. And the Cubs say, "We love colors, red, yellow, and blue. Hooray for yellow, red, and blue." But there are other colors too. See, what they've done is they've taught us red and yellow and blue right now. Those are the three primary colors. We learn about primary colors in school because the idea is that if you have red and yellow and blue, then you can make all other colors out of those colors. But the interesting thing about primary colors is that although in school we learn that they are red and yellow and blue because that's the easiest to teach people about, it really depends on what you're measuring your colors as. It says that elementary art education materials and dictionaries and other things kids use and young people use, they define primary colors as conceptual colors. Red, yellow, blue, magenta is one. Magenta, yellow, cyan, that can be used to mix all other colors and go further to suggest that these conceptual colors correspond to specific hues and precise wavelengths. But that's not actually what like primary colors are. It gets a lot deeper than that in color theory because we know that there's like that red and yellow and blue. Red, there's also, there's like additive color, there's subtractive color, there's CMYK, there's RGB. It gets very complicated. Plus, you know, when you start looking at colors in like three dimensions, it's not as cut and dry as red and yellow. You think it's that cut and dry. When you're a kid, it makes sense, and it does physically work, but it's one of those things where you're like, this works, but it's not true. It works, but it's not enough. It works, but life is far more complicated than that, kids. It's not just red and yellow and blue. Who decided on that? I didn't mix my coffee well enough. There's a big glob of sugar at the bottom, which is amazing and also kind of gross. So they go to the paint store, the art store, and they buy a bunch of paints. They buy an art pad and a caddy of paints. It says there's other colors too. They come from yellow, red, and blue, which again is true, but it's not true. Colors don't come from anywhere. Colors come from light. Light is reflected. That is it. They're talking about pigment. They're talking about the mixing of colors. They're not talking about the actual color. Color is color, but also color isn't color. Color is how we perceive color, but also color is a whole other thing entirely. But they do say mixing colors is lots of fun. Mixing colors is lots of fun. Come on, we're going to show you how it's done. Now here, so those two pages where they go to the art store and they buy their supplies is cut out from the God version. God was like, we don't need to show them buying paint. Like, that's not what this book is about. And I agree. Like, it wasn't necessary. It's cool to see, like, it's cool to see that in Bear Country there's an art store. It's called Art Store. So the next shot is them mixing yellow and red together. And in the original version, it just says mix red and yellow, and what do you get? Because we've already established they're going to be doing this. In the God version, they have to say, but God made other colors too. They come from mixing yellow, red, and blue. Mix red and yellow, and what do you get? So now we're introduced to another concept, which is that God made colors by mixing other colors. God physically mixed colors to make other colors, which I don't think that's how it works. I don't think, like, why is an orange orange? So they're mixing yellow and red, which, you know, most people know is what happens when you mix red and yellow. But if you were to say, why is an orange orange? Like, why is an orange...
According to IO9 Gizmodo, actually, use of the word orange to describe a cross between red and yellow wasn't recorded until 300 years after the fruit appeared in Europe. It's thought that oranges get their name from the Sanskrit word for fragrant, naranja.
That was an accident. I didn't mean to actually make that happen. Why is an orange orange? And I'm not talking about why is it called orange, but like why is the skin of an orange orange? Because so the answer, I mean, and I think IO9 answered, it will, you know, answer this question. So oranges, of course, start out as green. And it's okay, so it says many fruits are picked while they're still a little green and left to ripen during transport. Most green oranges are perfectly ripe. By the time they turn orange, they're sliding downhill towards rot. The green skin of an orange isn't indicating that not enough of its natural color is coming through. It's just pumped full of chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is what oranges... Well, chlorophyll is like what how plants turn like sunlight into food. And that's why plants are green, because chlorophyll is green. So oranges are green. Then when the fruit gets cold, the chlorophyll dies, and oranges turn orange. So what that's saying is that oranges are naturally green. Like, oranges are green. And you don't mix green in anything to get orange. So God didn't make oranges orange by mixing red and yellow, because there's green in there as well. But you know, they don't, the Cubs don't bother with that. Then they say the color of a leaf about to drop, the color of farmer's pumpkin crop. In the God version, they say God mixed colors and made them glow. He mixed bright orange for nature's show. The color of a leaf about to drop, the color of a farmer's pumpkin crop. Again, plants, chlorophyll dies off. These other colors shine through. They're not mixed together. Why is a pumpkin orange? Why is a pumpkin orange?
According to the Children's Museum of Indianapolis, pumpkins change color from green to orange for the same reasons tree leaves change color in the fall, and they do it under the same conditions. Most pumpkins contain organic pigments called carotenoids that give their flesh and skin the classic deep orange tint.
Didn't really answer my question, but see, it's not these two colors came together. That's what orange, like the orange exists solely as orange, like orange is orange. I also know that orange didn't like have a name as a color in most cultures for a long time. There was like red and there was yellow. There was no orange. Color of carrot, color of his hat. They're talking about Farmer Ben, who's dressed. Oh, this isn't Farmer Ben. This is just a farmer, which is weird. I was like, this doesn't look like Farmer Ben. But it says the color of his carrot, color of his hat, the color of his orange colored cat. And it's weird. In the God version, they changed that to the color of his carrot, of his hat, of his orange-colored cat. Not like it doesn't change the it doesn't change like the contents, but it changes the rhythm, like really weirdly. So then green. Green's a super color too. We get it by mixing yellow and blue. Totally true. Totally true. I didn't mean to rhyme, but I did. Just between us bears and you, and I love this part. Because like all of a sudden, brother and sister are like, come here.
Come here.
We have a secret for you. A bear secret. Just between the two of us. Green is nature's favorite color. And that's cool, like, because it kind of is. Like, green is, like, pretty prevalent in nature. So just between us bears and you, it's nature's favorite color, too. Or, we love green. How about you? It seems to be God's favorite, too. It's the color of nature all around, of most things that grow out of the ground. And, okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. If you had to say, if you pulled me aside and you were like, what's God's favorite color? I would probably say green, partly because I'm really scared of you, the way you grabbed me like that. But also because it's true. If I believe that there was an, if I believe in an external entity, if I believe that there is an a creator being who created the world and also colored everything as from a giant palette, I would say, well, looking around, I'd probably say green. Probably say green because there's so much of it around. So the Cubs have a point. And I think the way they phrase it in the God book, the color of nature all around of most things that grow out of the ground should have been in the original too, because it sort of clarifies their point. Also, brother and sister are now seemingly in a jungle. I don't know where they went. Probably some sort of arboretum. Though all greens share a single name, all greens are not the very same. Or though all greens share a single name, all greens, dear friends, are not the same. The God version didn't want brother calling you dear friend. I guess that was a little too familiar for the religious book. I don't know why. But I also don't know why he's calling out green for this. Hey, did you know there's different shades of green? Because, hey, did you know that we can perceive 10 million different colors? There's different shades of everything. Alrighty? Have you ever seen different shades of black? Because they're there. They're not all pure black, but then they're not all pure green either, my friend, brother bear, my dear friend. All greens are not the same. Some are dark, some are light, some are dull, some are bright. Okay, but again, holds true for all colors. Colors are on a spectrum. If you're going with the RGB spectrum, it is, you know, there's these three, like, points. It's like a square, and you have to pick on the square where the color falls. But also, if you're doing CMYK, like there's a density of brightness and reflectiveness. Like, there's different ways of measuring color. All of them. And this, okay. I'm sorry. I got pretty worked up because then they say all the other colors too. I got a little upset. I'm walking it back. They do bring up this fact. Friends is also true of all the other colors. Okay. Why didn't you mention that earlier before I got so upset is my question for you, brother and sister bear. I was getting worked up. You could have said that at the top. You could have said, like in a little disclaimer, what we're talking about here, there's no absolutes, but, you know, oh well. Colors, dull and bright. We love colors. Dark and light. Great. What I love about this, so brother and sister are kind of running through the park now. And they're holding the paints and the palette they bought at the art store, which doesn't make any sense in the God version because you didn't see them buy it. So how do they even own it? I know when I see people own it with things in their hands, if I don't see them actually purchasing it, I get very confused. So they're running through a park. We see a bear fishing. We see a fish about to get killed. We see a turtle. We see or a tortoise. We see a cub on a scooter. We see a bear just laying back, enjoying the day on a pillow on the ground, a little rolled up thing. We see a bear sailing a boat. There's a little like stream running through the park. There's a little bridge over the stream. But right in the foreground, like the one thing you really notice is a trash can overflowing with trash that says trash on it. And I don't know why that tickles me. Like the fact that like whoever drew this image, Mike. Or not, probably not Mike in the original, but like whoever drew the original laid it out, drafted. It was like, make sure that trash is front and center, because we want to make sure people know that they're trash. Wait, says sister. What about purple, which don't forget is also known as violet? Is that true? Are violet and purple the same color?
According to Yaqub Marian, purple is a mixture of red and blue, so it is, in terms of wavelengths, a completely different color.
So, there you go. No, it is not. Violet and purple are not the same color. That's a common misconception, sister. I really hate to break it to you, but violet and purple, let's take a look. Purple is more reddish and saturated, while violet is more bluish and less saturated. And then the article that this appears in, which is it's a science article. It goes really into depth about wavelength and what happens when light hits your retina and what happens when violet hits your retina. Purple is not a spectral color, by the way. I don't know what that means, but there. Wow, this is a heck of an. This is a long article. Did you know that purple and violet look similar only to humans? So there's something. Oh boy. I'm going to have to read this later because there's a lot going on with violet and purple. But I guess the main point of this is, Sister Bear, you're absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong about violet and purple. So don't forget, it's not known as violet. But purple, more or less, is what happens when red and blue. By the way, when I was a kid and I would get paint by like color by number pictures and it called for violet and I only had purple crayons, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. It was like this pathological thing with me. I was like, nope, that is not what it's calling for. And my relatives would always be like, it's the same thing. And now, almost 40 years later, vindicated. I'd say I'm vindicated. Pretty vindicated. I knew there was a reason I've been doing this show for almost 5 years. It's the color of grapes on the vine, the color of feet that make grape wine. That's what the God version says. And the original version says the color of feet that make the wine. I do find it interesting that in the God version, and by the way, there is a bear, stomping grapes in a grape tub with a look on his face or her face. I cannot tell. That is, the most terrifying face I've seen a bear make. I know I say this like in every episode these days, but the face being made by the wine stomping bear, I'm going to post this online because this is, I don't even understand what's going on. I do not even understand this. Why are you making this face when you're stomping the grapes? Why are you making this face stomping the grapes, my bear? I do not understand. Why did the Cubs feel the need to clarify that your feet turn purple only when you're making grape wine? What other wines do they think children might be confusing it with? Are children like, what about elderberry wine, my Cubs? What about prison wine, my Cubs? What about wines made from garbage, my Cubs? Nope. Only grape wine. Only grape wine. That's the color. That's the one that turns your feet purple. Your feet won't turn purple if you're making it out of, I don't know, squash. That's going to be a whole other thing. Whole other thing, my buddies. So don't worry about it. Can't learn colors from that kind of wine. Why are we spending so much time talking about wine in this book anyway? This is a book for, honestly, three-year-olds. We love yellow, red, and blue. We love green and orange, too. And purple, of course, which, don't forget, is also known as violet. Sister Bear, you have gotten it wrong two times. And, I mean, are violet and purple the same color?
According to Jakub Marian, purple is a mixture of red and blue, so it is, in terms of wavelengths, a completely different color.
See? See? Why are you lying, sister? Why are you wrong? Why are you wrong? We see these colors and lots more at the paint and hardware store. Beige and tan, buff and brown. I'm going to call out buff again. They've brought this up in other Berenstain Bears books. Why is buff such a color for them? What color is buff?
According to Wikipedia, buff is the light brownish-yellow color of buff leather. Buff color is synonymous with ochreous color.
So why do we care? Why is buff? Oh, because they're bears. Okay, so probably in bear world, and let's mark this up. Let's mark this up. It's an important one. Probably in bear world, brown is because that's your color of your bears. Like, you have to differentiate so many kinds of browns in bear world. Like, okay, so we know that race doesn't really exist in bear world. There's species, but there's not race. Like, they don't judge each other by the color of their skin. That you can't see their skin. It's color of fur. But there's probably many variants in fur color, like there are with animals, like even related animals. Like, there's variations in fur color and fur patterns. The illustrations are simple, but they're probably more complex if you were actually there looking at the bears. So beige and tan and buff and brown, like brown to them is like just another variation on brown. Like, brown probably means something very specific to them, like not to us. Like, oh, that's brown. But they'd be like, no, that's more of a buff. That's a buffish beige brand tangation of brown. That's not brown. In fact, it says right here, beige and tan, buff and brown, the colors of the bears in our town. Remember, all bears in Bear Town are some variation of brown. Like, that's how they see it. Like, I feel like in the human world, in our world, unless you are perceived as being specifically of a race that is like assumed to be a race where people have skin of a darker color, then your skin color is seen to be a shades of Caucasian type skin. Shades of white, as we say. White skin, even though, of course, skin isn't white. So people are like, ah, it's a dark, you know, like, there, it's variations on white. Because just what's the word I'm looking for? Just our preconceived conceptions, our prejudices. I think that's what it is called. Prejudices. We're trained that way. We're trained to be like you have this color of skin, this color or this color, or it's a variation. You know, like, or you're just one of them white people, and so your skin is like all different shades of white, which doesn't even make any sense. But in Bear World, brown is probably the metric they use. So all bears are various shades of brown. Unless you're talking about polar bears, bears we haven't seen yet. We know they exist. We've heard tell of them. That's a whole other thing. But and here's what we get to. And here's what we get to. Not the biggest difference, but this the most important page, which in the religious version, they change. They make it a little more complex than it needs to be. My favorite page in this book is the next page. Brother and sister are running through a playground. There's bears playing. And I will say that we see shades of bear fur in this book beyond what we usually see, because they're making a point here. But it's just brother and sister, they're running through the playground, and it says, "We love the color of every bear." There, that's all you need to know. We love the color of every bear. The next page says the color of the clothes they wear, but I love that. We love the color of every bear. Period. Exclamation point. We love the color of every bear. Bam. That's all you need. That's all you need. In the religious version, they stretch it out. It makes it a little more. Well, it says God made bears and people too, which, okay, wow, you're acknowledging people, which is weird, of different color, different hue. We love the colors of every bear and the color of people everywhere. It's weird because now they're acknowledging human beings, and I don't like that. Like, it's like we didn't need to dip into that well, but I do like the fact that it gets rid of, like, it doesn't conflate the color of their peers with the color of their clothes. Like, okay, but I love this page. We love the color of every bear. Just, that's a nice sentiment. I'm gonna hold on to that one. So the sunset colors at the end of day. Or God paints sunsets at the end of day. At night, the colors all fade away. It grows dark and darker still. Will the colors come back? Yes. Yes. Yes, they will. And here's where so what happens is brother and sister go home. It's nighttime. They go to bed. They wake up. It's a beautiful sunrise. And I do want to point out, in this book about colors, beautiful coloring, a beautiful picture of a glorious sunrise. It's a dawn of another day. The sun comes up. Hooray, hooray. We get up, go out and say. Or in the other version, God makes the dawn of another day. The sun comes up. Hooray, hooray. We get up, go out and say. We love colors. Red, yellow, and blue. We love green and orange too. And purple, of course. Don't forget it's the color of those violet. It's not violet. Are purple and violet the same color? It's not telling me this time. It's not telling me this time. The computer got tired of answering that question. No, they are not. I don't know why they felt they had to end with that. It ends with a false statement. Purple's not violet. Purple's not violet. Purple's not violet. Colors are light reflected or absorbed or passed through or filtered through scattered light wavelengths. Hit your eye. Cones? Rods. Physics? Electromagnetic impulse. Wheel color theory. RGB. CMY? Okay. That's what color is. It's unknown. It's like math. Two doesn't exist. You can't say, look at two. You just have a symbol that means the concept of two. Does blue exist? I don't know. There's light. We know that exists. We need it to see. And also, the sun. It's hot. It's also not yellow. It's white. But we see it as yellow. So if we see it as yellow, does that make it yellow? My garage is white, but it used to be gray. What is it? It's wood. The one day, all that wood will rot, just like you and me. What color will we be then? Gray. Gray bones in a grave. And at the end of the day, isn't that the real color? Dead color. One day, the grave. Thank you so much for listening. This was the Berenstain Bear. Oh, wait. Did I like these books? These are great books. Fun books. You can't get the first one anymore. You can get the second one, Zonder Kids, if you want to read about God making the colors. But you know what? I would actually tell you to get the original because it's got those extra pages. And it doesn't muddy the waters. The waters are already muddied when you're learning about colors because they don't exist. And they do exist and they're so important, but some people can't see them. So if you're going to get a book about the Berenstain Bears teaching about color, I get the original because once you throw God into the mix, it starts getting really weird, man. Why did you make something that not everybody can see? Do you really mix the colors to make the oranges? What happens when they're green? Nobody can answer any of these questions. Certainly not the Berenstain Bears. So pick it up. Buy it used or buy it new. I don't care. It's cute. It's fun. And I love it so much. My favorite book. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of Deep in Bear Country, Berenstain Bear Cast. If you want me to keep talking about Berenstain Bears books and enjoying these books, please go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. Become a patron of this show. I do it all by myself. I edit every episode. I record every episode by myself. I sit alone most of my life talking into a microphone about the Berenstain Bears, and it gets lonely. And it'll be nice to know I have some friends out there who just throw a dollar or so my way every month. It helps. It helps me buy some books. It helps keep me in happiness. And to all my patrons who already subscribe, thank you so much. I put out bonus episodes. I've been putting out a lot of bonus episodes recently. Maybe not so much in the next couple of weeks, but then I'll make up for it next month and in the coming year. I've got big plans for 2020. I will reveal those plans soon, but I think it's going to be a fun year. I think it's going to be a big year. I think it's going to be a researched year, and I think it's going to be a bizarre year for Deep in Bear Country. So hang in there, because, oh boy, it's going to get fun. But once again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for enjoying my rambling, and I will see you all next time, deep in Bear Country.